helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Last year, while I was out on my Blessings of Liberty tour, I listened to the audiobook version of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. This huge account of Solzhenitsyn's experience gives an insight not only into the labor camp system, but the Soviet system as a whole. Now, with recent reports of the public school indoctrination of our children, the intentional separation of children from their parents, and the government attacks on parents who object, it's hard not to refer to the current education system as an indoctrination system. As more and more comes to light about the narcissistic, perverted, racist, and statist agenda children are being indoctrinated into, one term keeps coming to mind. See, what we now call our education systems seems more like the Gulag Academia. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and it's so important that we do so today because our education system, our Gulag Academia, well, it simply isn't doing the job. See, if you look at early American history, both colonial and in the early states, public education was paid for basically just for poor children. The wealthy were expected to pay for their own education, and the purpose was fairly simple. It was to teach what we would now call reading, writing, and arithmetic, and enough civics to create a functional citizen. They wanted people that could read the Bible so they could understand the morality that so much of American law was based on. They wanted them to be able to communicate by writing, to be able to do basic mathematics, and again, know enough civics to be a functional citizen in the Republic. You compare that with today, where less and less time are being spent on the fundamentals, less time on reading, less time on writing, less time on basic math, and interesting, almost no time on civics. They spend time on advanced math, which kind of confused me. And of course, a lot of it is on social engineering. Now, my daughter just turned 24. And my wife and I had agreed, even before she got pregnant, that any child of ours would not go to a public school. And in fact, we if at all possible, we would teach her at home rather than sending her to a private school. Now, this was after the days when people were really out to get the homeschoolers, but there still was a lot of pushback. I remember a lot of people telling me, well, Paul, aren't you concerned about socialization for your child? And I said, I'm terribly concerned about it. That's why she's not going to public school. See, public school is the Lord of the Flies. The stereotypes exist because there's a kernel of truth to them. All the cliques, right? You've got the mean girls, the jocks, the nerds, and the antagonism and aggravation that comes from them, the bullying that's involved, the peer pressure, the pressure to do things that you know are wrong. Is that where I really wanted my daughter trained? And the answer was no. So we made sacrifices, and we schooled our daughter at home through all 12 years. And for those of you who are concerned about the academic skills, well, I'll tell you that on all of her standardized tests, she scored in the 90% or better, except for one. See, there was one year when the test included geometry, but we hadn't taught her geometry yet. Because we don't know what's on the test, there was no way for us to know they were going to ask geometry. That time, she only scored 85. So academically, she's done very, very well. Paul, what about social? How is she properly socialized? She's wonderfully socialized. She's just as comfortable among adults as she is among children. In fact, I remember when she was a young child, we had to go to New York City. I had a relative who had died, and we were having a memorial at their former apartment in Lower Manhattan. So you can imagine, it's a New York City apartment. It's a good-sized apartment, I will. It's not a small one. But there's got to be 60, 70 people in here, of which my daughter knows five. Me, myself, my father, my stepmother, and my sister. So she goes off to play with the other kids in one of the bedrooms, and everything's fine. And then while we're talking and mingling, I see my daughter walk out of the bedroom. She's making her way towards my wife and I. She's using words like, you know, please and thank you and excuse me, very polite. She's talking with adults and with children. And she came to us and I asked her, honey, what's the problem? She says, well, they were going to watch a video that I know you didn't want me to watch, so I decided to come out here. Seems like a well-socialized child to me. Now, I got to admit, it took work. I'm not saying there was no cost to this. But compare that to, well, so many of the young adults we experience today. Children, emotionally, unable to accept any contradictory information. If you present them with an idea they disagree with, they yell and scream and effectively throw temper tantrums. They try to get you shut up. They try to get you canceled because you express an idea they disagree with. You try to talk to them about liberty and freedom and making your own decisions. And they keep saying, no, socialism's the answer. When you point out all the death and destruction and mayhem that the 20th century experienced under socialism, they write it off as if it never really happened. How many of them, when questioned about the alleged white male privilege, can show no evidence that they've either had it or that they've been oppressed by it, but it's there. And when you realize that I believe all of the 50 states have compulsory education laws, we are going to tell you, you must educate your system, and it must be in a system that we approve, where we're going to approve the curriculum and the education. And I ask, how much different is that than the gulags? Granted, the gulags are labor camps. That's the technical definition of a gulag. But what it was just as much a punishment and re-education camp. And we take our children at the age of five, the tender age of five, and we hand them over to government officials and say, you educate them. And nowadays, not only do the parents not engage to make sure that the education that their child are getting is an effective one, they are actively separated from their children. And when parents complain about what they are taught, not the reading, writing, arithmetic, and civics. No. When they complain about the social engineering that is being done on their children, well, they're attacked. Not everywhere. And I want to be clear. I'm not blaming all parties in this as being part of the gulag. I know there are many, many, many teachers that just want to educate. They love children. They want to educate children. There are those who've gone into administration that truly want to have schools that educate children. But see, they've been indoctrinated in a system that says the only people that can educate children are the experts. But what are they truly experts in? I believe it was Vladimir Lenin that said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seeds I have sown will never be uprooted. What happens when you've got 12, 13, 14, 15 years that our governments are educating our children? How much of what we're living with today were seeds that were planted back in elementary school, back in preschool? Because what are they being exposed to? During a press conference that Governor DeSantis titled Exposing the Book Ban Hoax, he went on to read. He did a 5-minute video reading content from books found in libraries at K-12 schools. Right? These are public school libraries. These are books that your children could walk in and read. And many of the television stations actually had to cut their live feed because the content of the book was pornographic. It was illegal to put on the airwaves, but it's being made available to our children. Things like books like Gender Queer that depicts different sexual acts. Or flamer, which describes explicit acts between boys. Another one called Let's Talk About It explains how to engage in different forms of sex. This is in K-12 public school libraries in Florida. These, by the way, are the books that the legislature of Florida said doesn't belong in our public schools. Not that these books were banned. Not that they said you could not publish these books. These are not available. They did not belong in K-12 schools. But of course, those who are promoting the school agenda, that the experts know everything, they were upset that pornographic material was being denied to children in our public schools. Any wonder why I say they're being trained to be little perverts? Material that is not allowed to be on the public airwaves in an attempt to protect children is being supposed to be given to children in the public school. And of course, those who do not, they're referred to as book burners, as if we're trying to destroy knowledge, when all we're saying is this is not appropriate for children. And of course, it's not just perversion. It's racism as well. For example, here's a recording, I believe it came originally from Veritas, of the assistant superintendent of the East Meadow School District in Nassau County, New York. So this is now the assistant superintendent of a public school K-12 district out on Long Island. And listen to some of the things he says.
It's dangerous right now. It's dangerous for all people who want to do this work.
Do you encourage your teachers to write like a curriculum advanced in diversity, equity, inclusion work?
Yes,
curriculum?
Covertly. Every district is doing this covertly.
Every district is
except
doing
for the
covertly
black population.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But we need good people, otherwise the work that myself and my generation have done is for naught. And that's where I'm starting. I'm having a personal crisis of conscience because I really feel like the work that I've done for 42 years could be for naught.
It's because it could end the work. It gets out to that we're doing it because that's how loud some of these people are.
Now, listen to some of the things he said. That every school in Nassau County, except the black schools, is covertly indoctrinating their children with diversity, equity, inclusion. Now again, diversity, not based on diversity of thought, but diversity based on race, based on gender, based on nationality. In other words, to view people simply by the color of their skin, their reproductive organs, or where they came from. Ladies and gentlemen, that is racist. That is the definition of racist. When you judge people based on their race, that is racism. They call it diversity. What it is racism. Equity. Not that you get out of a system what you put in. That's what they call equality. Equity, the way they misuse the term, says no matter what you do, you're going to get the same outcome. This, by the way, I would track all the way back to the participation awards. Everybody gets a trophy. Nobody loses. No more red pens because it makes people feel bad. And he says it's dangerous for him and people like him who have this agenda. Why is it dangerous? He says these people are loud. His work of 32 years could be undone because of loud parents pushing back against teaching our children to be racist? 32 years, ladies and gentlemen. My daughter's 24. He's been doing this for 32 years in Nassau County, New York. Lord knows what my daughter would have been taught if she was in public school where I went, where we lived at the time. I know this. The school she would have went to, another parent had a young daughter who at the age, I think, of 7 or 8, was shown sexually explicit material in class. The mother was not given the opportunity to opt out. And when she asked the principal why, the principal said, well, we found that if we allow parents to opt out, they tend to. That's not education. That's indoctrination. That's, we're going to shove the parents aside and we're going to train these children in the way we think they should go. And that involves being racist, to judging people based on their race, based on their sex, based on their perceived, their country of origin, or just their perceived understanding of the world. That's what's being driven into our children, and it has been for decades. Do you want to know why corporations have become woke? Because the parents sat back while our children were turned into narcissistic, perverted little racists. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? Now, I have an interview coming up with Samantha Sorbo. Now, you may know her from her work in the education system. You may know her husband, Kevin Sorbo, the actor, probably most famously known as for her, the program Hercules. But we're going to have that after the break. Before I go, I want to remind you, you can find out more about the Constitution Study at our website, constitutionstudy.com. Sign up for the mailing list. Check out the articles and videos. Donate to the cause or just ask a question. It's all there at constitutionstudy.com. Also, if you're like some people, you have a hard time getting to sleep and you wake up tired and kind of ruins your whole day. Well, REM sleep from HealthyCell.com is the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep, to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply so you can wake up refreshed. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order by using the code Out Loud at checkout. So please go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together. It can include REM sleep or any of their products. Just use that code Out Loud at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait. We wash our nose? Yes. The number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And yes, here we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We try to teach everybody to be free, which is why today we're talking about what I've nicknamed the Gulag Academia. I'm pleased to have with me Sam Sorbo. You may know her from her work dealing with education. You may also know her husband. I mean, he only played Hercules on television. But I wanted to talk to you because we'd met before. And the way you discussed and described the public school system was truly intriguing. So first of all, thank you for your time and thank you for joining us here at the Constitution Study.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. And this is everything that I live and breathe right now. So I love your topic and I love bringing attention to people. And I hope that I can share some things that really encourage people to look at our school system and the definition of education in a different way. That's what I seek to do. And then, of course, I seek to empower parents to educate their children at home.
All right, because ultimately, the parents hold the ultimate responsibility for the education of their child. At least that's the way I look at things. Obviously, that's not the way, we'll say, the current educational system does. And it's unfortunately not the way a lot of parents seem to think it.
Our current system infantilizes children. That's why we have all these children who are graduating from college unable to hold a job, much less even have a career, which is, of course, the stated purpose of our education system. And I actually hesitate to call it an education system because it's really a school system. That's something completely different. So if we just break it down to sort of the brass tacks, we have to reconsider the way that we define education, because we define education only the way we were taught to by the so-called educators who are still running the asylum. And so now we're outside of the asylum and we think we know so much more, which we do. We know a bit more, but we never go back to impeach really what we learned in school. And so like one question that I like to ask adults, people who have jobs, is how much of what you do in your job did you learn in school? Specifically, did you learn in school from a teacher? Because I can impeach the entire school paradigm and set it on fire, because it's a perversion of what education ought to be and what true education really is. For instance, there are so many lies that are implied just by the system that we accept as rote. We rotely accept them because we were steeped in them. They just were the way things were. But in fact, they're not true. Like, learning happens in a classroom. That's just the way things were. So we assume that that's truth, but it's not true. Learning happens because there's a teacher. That's also not true. Learning happens with the need of a teacher, that you need a teacher in order to learn something. And that's why when I ask people, how much of what you do did you learn in school? Most people will answer maybe as much as 90% of what they do, or nothing that they do did they learn in school. As much as, I misspoke that. Maybe 10% of what they do they learned in school. Maybe nothing. Maybe as much as nothing. Because what happens is, once you get outside the institution and you start to experience real life, you learn so much more. You learn how to live your life. But we don't learn how to live inside the institution. And so we learn, for instance, we don't learn how to balance a checkbook. We don't learn how to lease a car. We don't learn how to read a lease agreement. They literally are making us sitting ducks. And so we go out in the real world, we don't know how to negotiate a mortgage rate. We don't know how to purchase a house. And by the way, like, you don't know how to purchase a house. So how did you learn how to purchase a house? Well, you had to find a realtor. So you were enslaved, in a sense. You were enslaved to the realtor because nobody taught you how to buy a house. But luckily, the realtor, who, by the way, does not work for you, does not work for the seller, works for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. They will walk you through the process because they want the sale. And so they'll guide you through the process to the extent that it serves them in closing the sale. And I'm not impugning realtors with any, you know, malicious intent. Of course not. What I'm saying is, they work for themselves. And don't forget that, because if it serves them to not notice the thing on your inspection report, then they won't notice it. In fact, many realtors don't bother reading the inspection report, but you kind of assume that they do because they're working for you, right? Yeah. But that's not how the real world works. And so we grow up inside this system of this sort of utopia minded system, and the real world is something very, very different.
We institutionalize our children. We make them dependent on institutions.
That. Well, the other thing that I want to say, I have so much to say on this, Paul. The other thing that I would say is that we tend to personalize the failures and institutionalize or credit the institutions with the successes. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, Have you ever heard somebody say, I can't do math. I just don't have a math brain. That's just not who I am. I can't do it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you'll hear somebody say, I'm great at writing. I had the best teacher when I was in 11th grade. So my writing success, I will credit with my education system, my schooling, but my failure at math, I don't discredit the system. That's on me because I'm the loser there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you didn't fit in the system. You know, therefore the system couldn't teach you, but it couldn't be the system's fault. It has to be your fault because you don't fit.
That's exactly correct. And that, of course, is the biggest problem. Well, maybe not the biggest problem, but one of the large problems that we have, because we have a system that values conformity over everything. We have a system that seeks to de-emphasize the individual and emphasize the group.
Yeah,
and so we credit the group with the successes, but we personalize all the failures, which is a very disempowering way of being. And so if you've been telling yourself this lie, I encourage you to let it go. It's not that you don't have a math brain. It's that you never had a good math teacher because the system failed at that. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. See, my wife and I homeschooled our daughter through all 12 years of primary education, primary and secondary education. And yet there were times when we would change what we were doing because this way of teaching her didn't work for that subject. So you try a different subject and all of a sudden it clicked. It's right. Something you can't do in an institution. The institution doesn't work that way. The institution wants bricks. It wants everybody uniform, exactly the same size, exactly the right. same shape. It doesn't want river rock.
Right.
River rock takes effort.
So you're seeing it from let's say Mount Everest. Now let me take you to the 30,000 foot view, if you don't mind.
Be my guest.
When we homeschool, we think we need to accomplish academics because academics are education, right? That's what we've been raised to believe. We went to school and the school told us academics, that's where it's at. That's what it's all about. The three R's, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, in our schools today, there's a huge tussle going over why they're indoctrinating the kids with this terrible stuff, the CRT, the DEI, the anti-racism, the gender bending issues, right? And we're saying to them, please, let's just get back to the academics because we were trained to think that education is academic and it's not. It's maybe 30% academic, maybe. You should know how to read because that's how you can then learn anything. Knowing how to read is not the accomplishment. The accomplishment is understanding that comes through the reading of and being able to synthesize the stuff that you read so that you can form opinions and form understandings.
You know, you said something earlier that triggered my brain again. And that is, when we evaluate education, we never ask, what is the goal? You know, my understanding of colonial and early American history was the reason the people like Benjamin Rush wanted public schools was to prepare people to be citizens in a republic, to be free citizens. And you needed a few things. You needed to be able to read so you could read the Bible so you had a moral framework. You needed to be able to do math so you could do basic business and survive. And you needed an understanding of your civic duties. And that was part of what they wanted to make sure that that children were not denied this because they weren't born affluent. They weren't born in affluent families. Sadly, it seems like that's all changed. We have these compulsory laws that says everybody has to go to school, either go to a government school or take a government-approved curriculum to make you exactly what we want you to be. And those of us who shun that entire idea, we're the ones that are called out and shunned and called names. And I look at my daughter. My daughter just turned 24 years old. I could not be prouder of who she is and the intelligence she shows, because in my mind, my wife and I educated her. We didn't simply stuff her full of facts and figures and let her loose on an unsuspecting world.
Right. So, and of course, that's my point, is that we get bogged down in the academics because we were raised to believe that education is all academics, to the ignorance of any spirituality, any morality, any, I'm sorry, I had that on mute. I'm not sure why it did that. To the exclusion of any of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, our culture today has an extreme disdain for the Bible, because all education from 1960, I can't remember the exact date now. From sometime 1960s, they disallowed the Bible in school. They said, we're going to take the Bible out of school. So education was defined without using the Bible at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you have these institutions. They are the institutions of learning. They're the venerated institutions of learning, and they ignore the Bible. And therefore, everybody who went to school for 12 years was indoctrinated because of this exclusion to assume the Bible's not important. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry, there's no argument to be made against that. That is why our culture is now so disdainful of the Bible. And you can argue, well, you know, I brought my kids to church every Sunday. I'm sorry, you sent your kids to a school to get supposedly an education that ignored the Bible. And you think that they're going to somehow every Sunday thinking, well, the Bible's kind of important, that somehow that's going to affect the way that they look at education. You see what I'm saying? Oh, there's a lot of water that has to go under that bridge for them to get back across to the other side to venerating the Bible and seeing its actual value, sadly.
You spend 30 plus hours saying the Bible is wrong, the Bible is evil, Christians are bad. You spend an hour with in church, and that's supposed to somehow nullify the 30 hours of indoctrination they've had. That part's absolutely true. And I remember, I think it was Sam Adams or John. I think it was Sam that said this Constitution was designed only for a moral and religious people, and is unsuited to any other kind. Well, what have we done? We've removed morality and religion from the foundational educational requirements that 90% of our young people go through.
That's correct. In fact, I'm sure you're familiar with, by the way, it was John Adams, just because I happen to know that. if you're familiar with Malcolm Gladwell, who does research on statistics and things, he says it takes 10,000 hours of practice to master anything. K through 12 is roughly 16,000 hours. So that's 16,000 hours of training that you don't see. You have to understand what I'm saying here. It's the training that you're ignoring because it's not the obvious thing that's supposed to be going on. It's all the stuff they leave out. So they leave out financial literacy. They leave it out. So when you're done, you think, well, I can just get a credit card. There's something about paying it back, but whatever. Right? Because they don't teach you about debt, finance, all of that stuff. They don't teach us. And they propose that they're educating our children. They're not at all educating them. They're uneducating them. They're literally making them illiterate. They're making them illiterate by distracting the children into ridiculous things that we all know don't matter or are abject lies, to the detriment of the ameliorment of the kids to becoming full adults. This is why I'm so vehemently against school as an institution. Now, there are some different kinds of exceptions to that, but I'm basically talking about government schools and schools that emulate the government model. Let's just put it that way. And I'll say this, because school is a collective proposition. It's collective at heart. It collects money from everybody and funds it to the students. It doesn't, but let's just say that that's what it proposes to do. So mm-hmm. that's why we pay our taxes, right?
Yep.
It's collective there, but it's collective inside the school as well. School spirit is a collective idea. School teams, collective idea. School classrooms are collective, okay? So we're still years in cooperation. We're trained to be compliant. We're trained to get along, right?
Yep. Sit down, shut up, do what you're told.
That's right. We begin to value the cooperative individual, the one who not just cooperates, but is inside the collective, is inside the cooperative. In other words, we as parents who went through all of this, we serve on the PTA boards. We serve in Little League. We serve in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. But we've stopped serving our children as individuals. We think somehow that the one supplants the other. That somehow when I serve the Boy Scouts or Little League, it benefits my child it probably to greater measure than if I just spent time alone with him throwing the ball, having a catch. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Going camping, teaching him how to build a campfire.
Yeah.
Not knowing how to build a campfire, going on YouTube to learn how to build a campfire, taking him out in the backyard, being, you know, super protecting and whatever, and figuring out with him how to build a campfire. Instead of that, I take him to the experts at campfire making because I think that the collective has it all over me because I'm just the individual. And I have individualized all of the failures as being my personal failures. And I have told myself this lie that somehow the collective is the great expert on everything. The collective somehow is the great server. And so the mindset is that we believe by serving the cooperative, we actually better serve our child. But fundamentally, we have to admit that that is not the case. When you had your baby, you served your baby. Babies are tyrants, man. You've got to be there, right? Drop of Absolutely. A hat. They start to cry, you're on deck, you know?
Ms. Sorbo, I have a heartbreak coming up. Why don't you let my audience know where they can find out more about you and the work you're doing to properly educate our children?
Oh my gosh, I would love to because this is my mission. I want to I'm about emancipation, okay? I want to free you from the school shackles that have been imposed on you that you're not even aware of, but that's why you feel so incompetent to educate your children. I can free you from that. And I have a whole training called the Playbook for Home Learning, which is all available at samsorbo.com. And the Playbook for Home Learning, I'll just tell you, it's a 15 video series that walks you through a guidebook to help you think differently about education, because home education is easier than you ever imagined. And it's better than you ever dreamed. It's more rewarding than you ever could dream.
And there's a reason why so many homeschoolers are winning all the spelling bees and geography bees and whatnot. Mrs. Sorbo, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on. And I think maybe exposing my audience to a different idea, a different look at what we're doing with our children in this government, quote unquote, education system.
Thank you so much.
Now, I'm running late and I have to take a break, but I want to remind you that the Constitution Study is one of many voices on AmericaOutloud.com. Make it a daily stop for the latest news and happenings. But it's important that we all do our part, that you take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the video, and that you share them as far and wide as you can. By doing so, you're helping to secure the blessings of liberty.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at CofixRX.com.
Well, the Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you join the Constitution study today, we're talking about what I term the Gulag Academia, the idea that our education system really resembles more of the labor camps of the Soviet Union than it does their original design, to make sure that we had an educated populace, educated in reading and writing and math and civics. And now it just seems it's about indoctrination. It's about, as Mrs. Sorbo put it, and I hope you enjoyed the interview, the infantilization of our children, making them, as I refer to them, as nihilistic little perverted racists. Now, in the 1970s, the federal government decided it was going to meddle in our education system. It was illegal, but they did it anyway because, well, the states never pushed back. They just saw, you know, dollar signs that said, gimme, gimme, gimme. So now we have the current administration, and we have the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Assistant Secretary, a mentally disturbed man who goes around calling himself Rachel. He's confirmed that the Biden administration is fully behind abusing children, drugging them, mutilating our children in what is, they call it gender affirming. I call it gender denying treatment, denying the sex of the individual for their own reasons. I won't even try to plumb the depths of those wicked and twisted minds. So that's the sexual perversion. What about this story out of South Carolina, where one mother has been trying to help her son who was struggling to learn to read, and he was falling behind, and finally she found a program that would help her, a book club designed to provide extra help in reading in her son's school, the St. James Elementary School in Myrtle Beach. There's just one problem. You see, her child is white, and this program only allows black children to participate, at least according to documents that were, that the Epoch Times got their hands on. You really, I mean, just imagine this the other way around. Imagine if there was a reading program, an education program, and we were told that black children were not allowed to participate. People would be up in arms. Here we have a racist program. It, ladies and gentlemen, this is a racist program in South Carolina. Where are the parents? What are they doing to have segregated reading programs? Now, there are parents that are starting to stand up and push back on this. In Eugene, Oregon, a health teacher was asking freshman students to describe their sexual fantasies in a writing essay. Parents weren't too thrilled with that one. And in fact, the students were told to choose 3 items from a list of, well, we'll just say props that could be used during these fantasies. Parents got pissed. But what are they doing about it? They're upset, but what are they actually doing about it? Well, I'll tell you what schools are starting to do about it. See, there was a Virginia school district that recently scrubbed a page off of their website. Why? Well, apparently there was a college-level civics exam on this site in which one of the questions asked students to compare liberals and conservatives to specific genders and races. That's right. They wanted to associate political party membership with gender and race. Apparently that kind of got, that got pushed back on, and they stopped. Another school board was asked to review a policy telling girls to leave the girls' locker room if they were uncomfortable with a boy in the locker room. They refer to him as a trans student. This is a boy. And you know what? The school board refused. You're telling me you've got a locker room full of girls. One boy walks in, and if the girls are uncomfortable, they're supposed to leave? I think it's about time parents stop sitting back and being afraid. Now, why would parents be afraid to stand up to these perverts and racists in our school boards? Well, it's simple. Department of Justice is going to come after them. The House Judiciary Committee also already found that the DOJ had no legitimate basis to go after the parents that are objecting about what was being done in their schools, that the FBI was weaponized. Well, that's fine. We're the rest of the parents standing up to this tyranny. Remember what Lenin said, "Give me 4 years education, and the seeds that I plant will not soon be uprooted." They've got 12 years. Are you really ready to let your children sink in a cesspool for 12 years, all to get a diploma that, based on recent stats, may not mean the paper it's printed on? Sure, there were some that would have hoped the FBI would have looked and seen how ridiculous it would and reconsider, but that's not the world we live in today, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a world where the government thinks the children belong to them and parents are just an inconvenience. Now, what can be done about it? Well, I've already covered some states that are working on parents' bill of rights. And the House recently passed a parents' bill of rights legislation. Now, I don't expect it to go anywhere in the House. I mean, in the Senate. It passed the House. I don't expect it in the Senate. Even if it did, I wouldn't expect the president to sign it. Why? Well, because the Democrats in the House unanimously oppose this idea of a parents' bill of rights. But I have other issues. See, the problem I have with a parents' bill of rights is these are the parents asking the very same government that is perverting our children to protect us from the perversion of our children. How about instead of asking the government to do our jobs, how about we start acting like parents? How about we start demanding that these are public schools, not state schools, not federal schools? These belong to the parents and the taxpayers in the district, and we start throwing the rest of the bums out. Refuse to accept federal dollars. If you have to, refuse to accept state dollars. But take back control of your schools, or just don't send your children to public schools anymore. I know homeschooling is difficult, especially if you're dealing with a single parent. But really, is the future of your children not worth some level of extra effort? Do you really, when you see children who can't abide a contrary opinion, who can't make change, who can't figure out how to balance a checkbook, have no idea how credit cards work, have no idea how the government works, who believes that socialism and tyranny and uniformity are the future of this country? They got that in large part from the schools. Is that what you want to indoctrinate your children into? We've got to find a better way, folks. Our children are too important, should be too important for us, for us to throw them into this cesspool.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yet we throw our children to it. Now, I'm thankful. I thank God that I was able, my wife and I were able, to homeschool our child. That I made a good enough income that my wife didn't have to work in an office, that she could educate our child. As I said, she just turned 24. She is truly a blessing to our heart. A wise young woman, and I attribute a lot of that to the work that mostly my wife did in educating her. But if we're going to turn our children over to this cesspool, do you think they're going to come out clean? You wonder why people think America is evil. Well, they've been drowning in it for 12 years. 16 if they went to college, 18 to 20 if they went to some sort of graduate school. You cannot roll with dogs for 18 to 20 years and not expect to get up with fleas. But it's up to the parents. And it's also up to those of us who have the ability to do a little extra to help those parents that may not have as easy a time with it. So I understand Mrs. Sorbo's aversion to public school. And I agree. If government school, I am whole set against. But I'm wondering, can we go back to the original purpose of the public school? A locally funded, locally controlled system where the parents and the taxpayers oversaw the education of their children. Yes, some places did it better than others. That's called life. We all aren't the same. We aren't uniform. And we aren't going to get the same education, even if given the same opportunity. But if we can have an education system that is at least based in an understanding that we want to create citizens prepared to live in a free republic. Reading, writing, arithmetic, civics. That we're not trying to create mirror images of some utopia that we wish, that we're trying to create individuals. Allow them to learn the way they learn best, not try to cram them into a uniform shape. And the only way we do that is by going back to the original design of the public schools or getting rid of public schools altogether. And recognizing that, you know what? Rich kids will get an education, poor kids won't. But if the answer to that is, well, then all kids have to get not just an education, but be thrown into a sewage pit for years, I don't think that's the right answer. I admit, I'm past the trout ring years. My daughter's 24. She's not looking for us for that level of education. She comes to us for advice. But even that comes from years of education, of understanding how to, as we raised her, that she could come to us for answers and for advice. Not this nonsense in school that's trying to separate the children. Because when they separate the children from the parents, guess who they're trying to attach the children to? Government. Do you see why I call this the Gulag Academia? It's not creating citizens for a free republic. It's creating slaves for a tyrannical oligarchy, where the elites get to dictate what gets taught, what gets allowed, what gets accepted, and every child in every state is taught to sit down, shut up, and do what they're told. Maybe that brings the number of people that were willing to sit for the lockdown, even long past it was any question about whether it was effective. They submitted to the mask mandates. They submitted to the quote-unquote vaccinations that weren't really vaccinations. After all, we have generations of people who have been taught to sit down, shut up, and do what government tells you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are living with the consequences of decades of the Gulag Academia. There are a few of us who escaped, but the vast majority have not. The question is, will we stand for it? Will we sit there and allow this to continue? Or will we stand up, as Solzhenitsyn did? Will we write and show just how evil this Gulag Academia is? Expose it for the tyranny, for the cesspool, for the despotic environment that it is. We realize that public school more resembles the Lord of the Flies than it does the land of the free. Will we remove our children from such a dangerous situation? Will we work to make that situation better? Or will we merely condemn our children to be slaves to government? ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is ours. It's many of yours. As I said, I've already educated my daughter. I'm willing to help. Don't get me wrong. I've been trying to get into our local school for the last 4 or 5 years, teach a free course, do some sort of assembly to teach the Constitution, but they don't want to hear it. But I'll talk to the parents. I'll talk to their children. I'll show them they don't have to be dependent on the government, that they can do it themselves. Now, after all of this, if you want to hear more, remember, Constitution Study is on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't listen then, catch us on podcast. All the shows go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio, and they're available on your favorite podcast app. But I do ask that you subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating. Leave me a review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. Now you can find all the links right there at the homepage on AmericaOutloud.com. But I'm going to ask you to share them. See, by sharing this information, by sharing these resources, we not only can save ourselves and our neighbors, we can share the blessings of liberty.